This is Lance Kenmore of the Kenmore Team, and I'd like to welcome you to this week's edition of the Tri-Cities Real Estate Update. We're here every Saturday morning right here on News Talk 870. As always, you can contact myself, Lance Kenmore, anytime direct on my cell phone at 727-8977, or visit us on the web at kenmoreteam.com. Once again, I always like to thank John for hosting and everybody here at the station for working to make this happen. McKay, how are you?
I won't let it off. I won't let it out of the bag. I was just reading your interesting real estate story.
It's a good one. It's a great one this week, John.
I'm about ready to get on the floor.
I actually heard another radio host, a national radio host I was listening to the other day, talk about this first. And so I just brought it up because I figure it's too good for our listeners. So let's just jump right in. Our celebrity story this week actually is no celebrity. I got a little tired of those multi-million-dollar properties, so I've gone the opposite with our national news story, and I just thought this was too great. So in Dallas, so down in Texas, there is a man in these Fort Worth suburbs, beautiful $300,000 homes, well manicured neighborhood,
spending neighborhood.
And he has recently, they suppose, it's nothing's 100% official yet, but they believe that he has been able to purchase the $300,000 house for about a $16 filing fee. And so now that is a great deal. So what he did was, this house on this block was in foreclosure for about a year. He did tons of legal research and everything. And what happened is, through the foreclosure process, the mortgage company and who held the note on it also went out of business and went bankrupt. And so they had stopped the foreclosure process, or they were confused of who had what. Well, what he did is, the previous homeowner had already moved out, and Texas also has their version of what's called adverse possession law. And so he actually took what's called an adverse possession affidavit, took it down to the courthouse, and filed it for $16, and then he just moved on in.
It says here, adverse possession, in which a person can claim ownership of an abandoned property unless the owner contests it in court.
So
the owner had moved out, quote-unquote, abandoned.
Yes.
The company holding the note went out of business, so they abandoned. So
he moved in. So what would have to happen is, what this affidavit that he filed has done is given him legal first rights to negotiate with the original owner about possession. So the original owner would have to pay off their mortgage completely that was due, clear the liens and the notes against the property, and then he would have to then negotiate with this guy who's filed the affidavit to either buy him out, or have him move out, or have him forcefully removed. However, do you think the neighbors are very happy about somebody moving in? Not happy at all. So the neighbors are all up in arms. The neighbors thought that this guy was trespassing, because once he moved in, he put up no trespassing signs. They thought he was trespassing, so they called the cops to come have him arrested for trespassing. Well, the cops showed up, looked at the gentleman's paperwork, and they determined that housing in Texas is a civil matter, and it's not a criminal matter, and so they cannot remove him. And so
wheels are turning all over the country now.
He's got about 2 years and 2 years and 8 months left to go. And if he holds out there, makes it 3 years, after a 3 year period, the court will hand over the title to the property. So
wow.
Anyway, so instead of a multi-million-dollar national story, I thought I would lead with this week's celebrity, because in his own right, this man is a celebrity. I thought I would lead with the $16 fine.
Let's see. I'm going to get my.
he's very excited. It was interesting. There's some news clips on this. If you're interested, just on Google, you can type in, and there's about
$16 house.
Yeah. There's some great news clips on it. So locally, back to our local real estate news. I just wanted to wrap up. Kind of, we had done our big parade segment. We had Jeff Losey with the HBA on. Talked about the parade, talked to builders, a couple builders, talked to a builder afterwards about building that. Anyway, they released the winners of those, so I just wanted to congratulate once again as they released the names of the winners, and we had the People Choice Awards tabulated. Mm-hmm. The Legends Casino Best in Parade Award went to Solferino Construction. And so that was the best best in parade. So congratulations to Solferino. Mm-hmm. And then winners of the best overall in the different categories that were chosen by the People's Choice Award. Congratulations to Infinity Homes by P&R Construction. Lots Better Built Homes in Category 2. Reed Construction in Category 3. And then, of course, we talked about Solferino. So definitely congratulations to everybody. Thanks to everybody that visited, supported that, and went out there and just gave us a great time at the parade. So there was a lot of phenomenal homes out there. And just once again, congratulations to everybody.
And a lot of people.
A lot of people. Oh, and I left one out. We don't want to leave out Urban Street Homes. What was it? Urban Street Homes and Valiant Homes were some of the other People's Choice Awards. So
very good,
very nice homes. And but now we're back, and we haven't had this guest on in a while. He's been crazy busy with all of our fall landscaping needs, but we'd like to welcome back to the show. We have in the studio, his phone was ringing. I think there was a problem there. But Brent Gamache with Gamache Landscaping Nursery. Brent, welcome back.
Hello, good morning.
Good to talk to you again. So you've been gone. You've been busy. We've been trying to mesh up schedules and get you back on the show. I don't know if you're any less busy though. But what's happening in the world of landscape?
Well, you know, the summer that we actually didn't have is over.
I've heard that from a lot of people.
Coming from a true landscaper.
September was almost one of the hottest days, so it was crazy.
It was crazy, and I think a lot of people, you know, we've kind of been lulled into maybe some procrastination with our lawns and stuff. But did I hear you say something about blowouts?
Yeah, we're starting winterizations on Monday. So
see, I'm not even ready for that, and that's exactly why. I think we just had all this warm weather and had such a warm September. But, I mean, we're really going to be on borrowed time here pretty soon. I mean, the freeze is coming sometime in the next 10 to 12 days, unfortunately, probably.
Oh, probably, but minor freeze.
Not a hard freeze, but I mean, right. But that first one, so it's right around the corner.
That's right. Usually of October, like Halloween time, I've seen pretty cold nights right around that Halloween, and then it kind of gets a little warmer. But we're starting next week, so if anybody out there, we do commercial and residential, we even do small orchards and farms, stuff like that if we need to. So anybody needs to get winterizations done, they can surely call us down there.
Gotcha, so. And I'm sure that schedule gets filled up pretty quickly, and, and you definitely, from a real estate perspective too, that is one of those things that if you're going to be selling your house in the next 3 or 4 months, this always comes up.
And have you
blown out the sprinklers? And a lot of times people don't get a receipt for that, or they might just have it done. So from a real estate perspective, I want to remind everybody out there that's doing that, it is important to collect a receipt for that and get that, because when we go to sell in December, January or early February, when we go to closing, that's something that the buyers almost always are going to ask that, oh, by the way, did they get the sprinklers flowing out? Well, I think that some guy came by and knocked on the door.
And it's hard. There's really no way you can check.
Exactly. So having that receipt from somebody like Gamache is a great reminder, and especially for anybody considering selling, definitely keep a copy of that receipt for your records.
A couple of nights ago, it got down to 38.
It's on the way, folks.
Yep.
So what else do you have happening? Are you kind of wrapping things up at the nursery there? What else do we need to know about?
Yeah, about 2 weekends ago, we had a 50% off sale, one day only, and it was actually pretty good hit. People just, if they're interested, you always watch us. I think a lot of times we'll post it on Facebook, actually. Mm-hmm. Once in a while, I do Craigslist ad, but mainly Facebook. So if you want to be on a Facebook, just request as a friend. We always post that when we're going to have them. We'll have probably one more big sale like that.
One more 50% off.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Yeah, on all plants and trees. We got not a lot of stock left, but some nice stock actually for this time of year. So they got that going on. We have we're doing holiday Christmas lighting. We've done that about four or five years now. So we'll be actually I'm going out to do my first bid next week for holiday lighting for a gentleman.
Okay, so that's ramping up. Mm-hmm. Here we are talking about that again, but there is some lead time involved with ordering those lights and what you need for the specific houses, I'm sure.
Right. If they, we have the general you know, C9s, mini lights, stuff like that, LED or incandescent, that's readily available. But we have actually a very nice catalog of some really very different, more high-end, but very different type of lightings to hang on your house. That we need more lead time for. So.
Okay, perfect. So here we are. We're not into Halloween yet, and McKay is shaking his head. He's closing his eyes.
Oh, I love it. I love it.
He's just like, I can't believe we're thinking about this already. But no, that is definitely stuff to be thinking about as we come in towards that Christmas season. It might not be too early to get Gamash out there, get a bid for that holiday lighting, and get that on your radar, because like we said, we're all shocked here that we're blowing out sprinklers, and I'm sure we're going to be doing a show
and winterizing swimming pools.
Four weeks from now, we're going to be shocked it's November.
That's right. That's
so
right.
It's sneaking
that's
up right. on us.
Oh, yeah.
Well, that's one thing we wanted to talk a little bit about today, and that was what has been happening with housing. There's been these horrible headlines lately that I just kind of wanted to address with people.
Make you cringe.
What people have been seeing and kind of how that's related to kind of where we're at here in the Tri-Cities. And just give a little perspective on what's happened, what's causing those national headlines that you're seeing at night and making you wonder, you know, what is going on. So one of the things that we've been dealing with in the housing market, and most of these headlines have been focused on lately, is kind of a lack in recovery of prices. There hasn't been a huge recovery in prices that people thought there was going to be in these markets, in a lot of these bigger metropolitan markets that are defining the national market. So you've got your Floridas and your Phoenix and your Nevadas. And I mean, you can go on because it's a big portion of the U.S. and we've kind of been insulated here. But one of the reasons for that is that we talk about, and that really goes back to cost of construction selling, is what I call it. And what happens is, in an area that is stable and there's a good amount of builders and a good supply of land, is there is a certain amount that it costs to build a house. You know, by the time you put the wood in and the roofing and you look at it, and then there's a certain amount that a builder charges to organize all of that and put that together. Well, what happens is we have a lot of choices here. We have a lot of great builders. Then we also have a lot of great land you could put that on. So it forces people to be fairly competitive. And so we have a market that's driven a lot by cost of construction.
Mm-hmm.
What's happened in a lot of these other markets is back in the housing run-up is you had a lack of land, a lack of supply of homes because they couldn't build them as fast as people were moving in. And so what you have is you have a lower supply of homes, and then you don't have the land and the developments ready to build them on. So now what's happening is you're building a home, but there's nothing else available. There's no other choices. There's nowhere to go. So what does that lead to? Less supply, higher prices.
Exactly.
And so that's what happened in these markets is they went away from cost of construction pricing, and they had scarcity and other things in effect that drove up the prices of these houses.
So they were overvalued.
They were overvalued. And then what happened to make matters worse is that we've seen a lot of the jobs go away. You know, in these areas, we've seen some of the jobs go away, the economy suffer a little bit. And so now what's happened is they've gone back to cost of construction areas. And not repeating the same mistakes, a lot of this is a false pricing recovery from my perspective, because they're waiting for things to return to numbers that were probably never realistic in the first place.
And that's not going to happen.
In fact, a recent survey released on CNBC said that 73% of bankers and people in the industry expect that defaults will grow more next year, and that home prices might not fully recover to the statistical levels that they were talking about until potentially 2020.
Wow.
And so what you see is, and their recovery, though, is defined by previous pricing models, and I think not really accurate. Now we're going back to more of an appreciation pricing model that's probably more realistic based upon cost of construction and those type of things. Now, that's a little bit oversimplifying it. We do have some more time after the break. Mm-hmm. But after the break, we're going to go over a scenario that shows what a normal appreciating market like the Tri-Cities has been involved in, what that means to borrowers and homeowners. We're going to look at that scenario and go over those numbers as soon as we return.
Right here on News Talk 870.
to the Tri-Cities Real Estate Update. We've been talking a little bit about some scary national headlines, price recovery, all of this stuff in the news that you've been hearing about the national market in relation to where we're at on our local market. And, you know, a lot of it really comes down to that we did not have those gross run-ups of appreciations that weren't cost of construction-based type run-ups. Coupled that with amazing job opportunities, job growth, and decent employment, has really our standard, our national trend, and our standard for the local area has made us a leader, you know, in the area. And we're talking about, when we're talking about appreciation rates of 2 to 3%, making you top five in the nation. And so we're keeping a close eye on that, and we've gone through. People have seen the headlines. It was in the news again this week. Some layoffs at the Tank Farm, and some layoffs here and there with some of that, with some of the Hanford money. But we're keeping a close eye on that, looking and monitoring our number of sales. We've talked a little bit that the last month or two we've trended down a little bit in our gross number of sales, but we've seen prices holding steady. A decent supply of homes out there still available, and we're still seeing new people transferring into the area. But one of the things I wanted to kind of relate this to is exactly a scenario that can happen to somebody when you're not even in a crazy market, and talk about some of the reasons of why things got so out of control on the national level. And that is, people started to view housing as something different than housing. Instead of housing being a place to live, a place to raise your family, and kind of a utilitarian type of thing, it became something different. And what it happened is it kind of morphed into ways for people to finance their retirements, you know, as they were running up and these prices were running up. It became a way for people to finance their businesses out of the equity of their homes because they were increasing so much, you know, unrealistically in these areas. And also, some of the biggest detriments was it became standard practice for people to finance their lifestyles out of the equity in those homes. So, you know, a lot of this became too easy at one point, and now it's kind of suffering the consequences of that. So one of the things that we go back to is looking back to what is housing as an investment strategy, and what does it mean, and how does it work? How do people – well, I think a lot of people forget that over time, what can happen with a little bit at a time. And so one of the things I did, because what's so interesting right now is you're looking at 15-year mortgage money right now under 3.5%. And many times the last couple of weeks, it's been quoted under 3, I've seen.
Ridiculous.
And so just to kind of put down a real basic model to show on a 15-year mortgage like that, how quickly things can go. I mean, 15 years, you know, way different than a 30-year term. You know, you could be doing something now and set up pretty well not too long from now. So let's just take, for instance, looking back, and I used a pretty conservative number. I just said, let's look at a $100,000 property. Makes the math easy, and for Lance, if the math is easy, that's a good thing.
Count me in.
So here we go. So $100,000 property value sales price. Let's just assume you first-time home buyer, you 100% financed that.
Okay.
So we're gonna do the mortgage amount on the full $100,000. Let's do an anticipated appreciation rate of 3%. So let's just kind of stay with that. You know, the historical average over the whole nation has been 6. Of course, that's been bucked by the latest trend. So let's cut that in half and just go with 3% and be conservative there. And then put that on a 15-year mortgage amortization with what you could get on a 15-year loan right now. Let's just say 3%. It's so ridiculous. Monthly mortgage payments, $691 per month. Okay. And $691 per month on your mortgage payments. And we did zero down. Total cost of the mortgage loan over the whole 15 years, $124,305. And those numbers don't look as scary as it used to look with 6% over 30 years.
Yeah.
Those numbers used to be scary, like double in some cases. The home value in 15 years from now with that appreciation rate, which at that point with this interest rate, mind you, 15 years from now, owned free and clear. No more payments.
Wow.
Your investment. And if it appreciates at 3%, home value in 15 years, $156,000. Paid off McKay, free and clear.
There you go.
So a lot of people right now are looking at refinancing. Mm-hmm. If your rates were over 5.5 and you haven't looked at refinancing, I definitely encourage you to give us a call, get a hold of us so we can put you in contact with the mortgage brokers that can help you do that. Mm-hmm. Many of our clients right now are choosing to convert and go to this 15-year scenario. Just because that payoff and that lower amount of interest is so attractive
right
now.
Well, it gets you out from under the debt a lot faster.
It gets you out from under the debt faster. You pay less in interest costs. And it's just phenomenal to think that, you know, that 13, 14, 12 years from now, you can be living in that house with no mortgage. And paid off. So,
and as it continues to appreciate, instead of 100, you now have a house that's worth approximately $150,000.
Right, and one of the things that we didn't talk about, and that rates change a little bit when you add some money for investment property. But if you have some money saved up for the down payment, you not only do this once, but you do it twice simultaneously. You would be required to put more down for the second property. You do this simultaneously, and then in 15 years, you've got two properties worth $300,000. Mm-hmm. And so that's not a bad little way to go. Having your house paid off, and then you could sell the other one for $150,000, you know, and have that money in your pocket to do what you needed to do.
Well, that would be the smart way you'd made, you know, you'd mentioned real estate as an investment. You talked about people were using it to finance their retirements, business, and lifestyle. This is the smart way to do it.
Right.
You're building equity, you pay off your mortgage, and then down the road, you've got something you can work with.
Right, but, right. We're not financing lifestyle out of equity with and using mm-hmm. mortgages to do that. We are using the hard income or the cash physically from the property. Mm-hmm. So it's a vastly different mindset change, hugely different way to look at it. And historically, the way our economy here has performed, this is a totally doable scenario that we're looking at. Mm-hmm. And so that's one of the big differences that we've had here versus those other areas. And like I said, we're tracking exactly what's happening here. We're keeping a close eye on things because we've been very fortunate. We've been tracking along very steady in that scenario, and we've had a sweet spot here. And so one of the things we do constantly is monitoring how long is that lasting? What are things looking like? Could things potentially be changing? Mm-hmm. I'm fortunate enough that we have this show and this realm where we can talk about these items. Mm-hmm. We can look at these numbers in real time as they come out from our association and the data. And then we can have these discussions so that as people make these decisions to sell and repurchase, we want to be a part of that. So,
well, it's, you know, as long as you have the facts, like when you broke down the reason why, what's going on in other markets, you kind of say, oh, okay, that's why. If it makes sense, then you remove the panic factor. And I think that one of the things that whether you're thinking about buying or selling or not, you need to get past that panic button factor, because if all you ever read were the national headlines, you would think that we're down at the bottom of the commode. You know, somebody just flushed us away. But Tri-Cities, you know, we're one of the top 10, but there are dozens, if not hundreds, of communities around the country that are doing far better than this national average.
Right. That's exactly right.
So it's not time to push the panic button.
So it's very, very interesting. We're constantly monitoring all of these. McKay, I just brought with me today to end the show, though, my just number one pick.
Wow, it's even got a color picture.
It's got phenomenal place just listed. You know, mm-hmm. we talk about these deals. What can the listeners buy? What can you buy for 100? What can you get for that?
150.
Do those still exist in decent condition? Well, I'll tell you what, this is why this is the pick. 1816 North 11th Avenue here in Pasco. Mm-hmm. We just listed this property. It's listed for $83,000. It's a two-bedroom, one bath. Mm-hmm. It's been a very well taken care of home, just under 1,000 square feet. And like I said, priced at $83,000, two bedroom, one bath, has a carport, so you've got a covered area for mm-hmm. parking, storage shed, super well kept yard with underground sprinklers. This place is just an awesome little well-maintained property. It has a covered front porch. I mean, this is just one of those starter homes that you mm-hmm. can get into for under $100,000, significantly less, at $83,000. Get things started. Start growing your portfolio. And if anybody is looking in that price range, I tell you what, this is the property to go look at. And so, once again, that's 1816 North 11th Avenue. My cell number, 727-8977. We'd love to show it to you, get you in there, and utilize some of those programs we've talked about here before. Mm-hmm. And we're just excited. We're out there selling homes. There's lots of good ones to look at. Rates have never been lower, and so our customers are taking advantage of those. We had a lot of closings last week, mm-hmm. and so we're very excited. Anything we can do to help, you know where to find us. Probably the easiest on the web at kenmoreteam.com.
Yep, and if you have questions just in general, you hear something about the real estate market, you want to find out more, well, Lance and the guys will give you the information you need.
We will. On the drive over here, somebody called me that was building three new houses, and they had some floor plan questions, and, you know, just general. It was actually a listener from the show and just called up and said, hey, I need a third-party opinion from somebody that's not my friend or been doing it a long time ago on these three new houses I'm building. What can you do? And we do that all day long. That's what we do. We're here to help. 727-8977, and we'll talk to you again next week.
Right here on News Talk 870.